Come on in. We are ready for Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here and we are waiting for you. So come on in. Come on in.
All right. Well, I trust each of you have had a blessed day today. This is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we thank God for another day. This is the second day of a new month, Lady Kim, and May is here. I tell you, April got out of here real fast, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
But we praise God that he continues to sustain us in the midst of everything that we're going through. And we thank God for this new day that he's afforded us to participate in, and we yet give him praise. So we're in the 21st chapter of Joshua tonight. Didn't turn my phone off, a spam call coming through, but we're in the 21st chapter of Joshua tonight, and there are about 45 verses there, and we're going to just kind of briefly go through there because there's quite a few names listed here, Lady Kim, and not that you can't handle it. You're doing an excellent job and making sure that we get a clear understanding and pronunciation of all of the tribes and all of the cities and all of the people that were inheriting the territory as the children of Israel have made their way into the promised land. And here they are, they're getting settled and they're centering themselves and they're developing the properties and the territory in which was given out. And so this 21st chapter is going to talk about the tribe of Levi, and we're going to see some very interesting things coming to pass here in this 21st chapter. And so, as we said, there are about 45 verses, and I believe we can get through that tonight. What do you think?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started, and let's have a word of prayer as we prepare to get started tonight. God, we do thank you for this day. And we thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for being God and God alone. And we realize that we're nothing without you, and that in you we can do all things through the very Christ that strengthens us. We pray, dear Lord, for you to continue to allow us to feel your power and your presence, even as we go forth from day to day. Thank you for including us in your plan that you have for this day and for the remainder of the evening. And God, now we pray that even as we have gathered together virtually to study your word, that your word will indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, and that everything that we might say or do, we may say it and do it in such a way that will bring glory and honor to your name. And we pray for a mighty release to happen even as we go through this time together tonight, because we know that our faith is going to increase as a result of us spending this time together. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're in the 21st chapter of Joshua. Let us know the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare to go into this time together. Lady Kim is going to give us a brief refresher from what transpired in the worship experience on yesterday. Had a powerful time in the Lord, and we praise God for him adding to the church even
amen.
On yesterday.
Amen.
So tell us a little bit about what you heard as related to the worship experience as well as the word that went forth.
Amen. Well, the title of your sermon was The Importance of Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And we know recovery is important.
That's right.
No matter what we're facing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're facing an illness, recovery is important. If we're facing a disappointment, getting over that disappointment is part of the recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, we're in a bad relationship or a breakup with someone,
mm-hmm.
then it takes time to recover. So we know that recovery is important. But you came from the book of John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 29, a lengthy passage of scripture, but I'll just kind of recap what was going on there.
Okay.
And talk about the points that you delivered on yesterday. You know, in this passage of scripture, John 20:19 through 29, was talking about, you know, right after Jesus died and he was buried, then the disciples were hiding out.
That's right.
They were behind closed doors because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid that the Jewish leaders would come and do to them what they had done to Jesus.
That's right.
And as they were behind those locked and closed doors, Jesus appeared in the room. Didn't say how he got in. He didn't say he opened the door, walked through. They just said he was standing there among them. Can
right.
you imagine?
That was powerful.
Yeah. Can you imagine just being in a room and all of a sudden your one of your buddies, your homeboy, is standing right there that you know died.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus was in the room and he said, "Peace be with you." You know, in other words, he was saying, "Y'all chill."
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And when he spoke to them, he showed them the wounds in his hands from the nail piercings. And he showed them his side where the spear had been thrust into his side. And when they saw, and he told them again, "Peace be still," because I know they were freaking out when
they probably were.
Saw the wounds. And he says that as the Father had sent him, so he was sending them.
Right.
So he's giving them commissioning orders or marching orders, just like my Father sent me to earth with a specific task. Now I am sending you to go forward. And this is the part that gets me. It said he breathed on them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord, that spoke to my spirit. Something leaped in my spirit because I thought about, we could stay on this all night.
I know, right?
But I thought about when God made man, he breathed into him the breath of life.
Glory God.
And just like God breathed into man, into Adam, the breath of life, Jesus blew his breath on those disciples. Amen. It said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Before the Holy Spirit was given.
He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Mm-hmm. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't come until the day of Pentecost.
That's right. That's
but
right.
But he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and he blew his breath on them.
That was a special anointing.
Woo!
Extra double portion.
Yes, Lord.
Type of anointing. To help them because they were struggling and they were straining.
Struggling.
They were locked up. They were afraid. The women were the first at the tomb, but the disciples, they were behind closed doors.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing that there was another lesson in this too that, you know, I really hadn't paid attention before. Jesus said after he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he tells them something important.
That's
he says,
right.
"If you forgive anyone's sin, they are forgiven, but if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Mm-hmm.
And you remember Jesus' first words on the cross.
That's right.
Was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
So that forgiveness piece was Ooh. Still fresh in his
yes,
mind.
It was.
And he wanted them to be reassured that if they were going to have that peace that he was speaking about, that they had to have a spirit of forgiveness
spirit
about
of forgiveness.
Them. And you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that whole piece about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And many times it lies in us not forgiving ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. But I think this was a powerful illustration for these disciples who were weary. They were frustrated. They were tired.
Mm-hmm.
They were wounded. They were afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They were behind closed doors. But Jesus wanted to give them this commission, as you indicated, Lady Kim, to prepare them for what was ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
They had a work to do.
Yes, they did.
And so they had a recovery that needed to happen,
mm-hmm.
because they were in recovery, and Jesus was trying to make sure that they understood what it was going to take in order for them to be released from that place of recovery.
Amen.
But I hope you didn't lose your thought, because this is a powerful passage. When I know you're getting ready to go ahead and continue to share what the Lord has shared with you about what you saw in this passage as well.
Mm-hmm. And then it talked about, you know, after he told them about forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
the act of forgiveness, it mentions in there that Thomas was not
That's
with
right.
them.
That's right.
Thomas' nickname was Twin. He wasn't with them.
He wasn't with them.
And he replied, when they told him about what happened, he replied, "I am not going to believe it until I see the wounds, until I see the nail wounds in his hands, until I put my fingers in him, until I see the wounds in his feet, until I put my fingers there, until I see the wound in his side, until I put my hand there." And then the Bible says 8 days later.
8 days later.
When they were together again. This time, Thomas was with them.
That's right.
And the Lord appeared to them again.
Reappeared.
He appeared to them again. But this time, you know, and it says the doors were locked.
That's right.
You know, and again, here Jesus appears. And he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers in these wounds.
Wow.
Put your fingers here and look. Put your hand in my side."
Right.
"And don't be faithless any longer."
Wow.
That's something, isn't
That's
it?
Right. That's right.
And when he did, Thomas did what Jesus asked him to do. All he could say is, "My Lord
and my God."
And my God.
That's
my
a shout right there.
And my God.
Yeah.
Well, how many times has God done something for
God.
You? And all you can say is, "Ooh, my Lord.
My Lord.
And my God."
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
That's right. That's powerful. And
yes.
So, go ahead. I don't want to keep interrupting you. I feel the flow there because that's key. And Thomas was really the kind of central thought of trying to establish this whole message.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of meat on that bone there in terms of continuing to just work through that.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was not to lose sight of the experience of resurrection.
Right.
Because all too often we want to package it and pack it up after that one day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more to the resurrection experience than just allowing it to be an event.
Right.
But it should be something that carries us through our bad days, carries us through those times of disappointment, carry us through, I'm going to get it out here in a minute, carry us through the time when we're trying to recover from whatever it is that we might be going through in terms of trying to get back to a place of wholeness and get back to a place of betterment for our situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so Thomas really needed to be reassured. And sometimes we have, you know, his nickname, even though he was called the twin, his nickname was
Doubting Thomas.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I know my first name is Thomas, but don't even think about it. Don't even start that.
So
it won't be nothing.
Anything but doubting.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And so Thomas needed an extra boost, and Jesus was not in a hurry to leave and ascend back to heaven before he reassured the disciples and breathed on them and gave them a commission and then told them, "Peace be still."
Amen.
Well, not peace be still, but peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sister Melody, our good friend from Trinity Christian Church, thank you for being on tonight.
Thank you.
Sister Melanie finished it off. You know, that 29th verse that you preach from, it says, "Blessed are those you believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe without seeing me."
That's right.
We who have not seen Christ with our own eyes are blessed even more because
that's
we
right.
believe.
That's right. That's
Isn't
right.
that powerful
that's,
tonight?
That's rich. That's
yes.
real rich.
So I know we're not going to spend that much
no,
time
go ahead
on this,
and walk
but we,
through
because
it's good. And we'll have enough time to do what we're going to do for Joshua.
Yes. Talked about, you had 3 points yesterday, proper positioning.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about personal peace.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about providential purpose.
Right. Because that first point in dealing with proper positioning, Thomas was out of position.
Mm.
And it really derailed or it held back from him getting the recovery process in place like it should have been with the other disciples. And many times when we're out of position, we hinder the work that God is trying to get done in our lives. And, you know, that's almost like that the book, I can't think of the name of it, where all of the people are on the bus and some people are in the not in the right seat.
Good to
not,
pray.
from good to great, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is even in the church. A lot of people are out of position, but we need to understand and be clear of our position or our lane or what God has assigned to us through our gifts. And until we are able to be in proper position, then will we get further along with what God is trying to get done and what he's trying to implement in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sister Gwen had a good comment. She said, the origin of faith is when we believe without seeing.
That's good.
Yes,
that's good.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
No. Amen. Faith without works is
dead.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right. And so proper positioning, we have to be in the proper place. We have to be in the right place at the right time.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we should be someplace and we're not there.
Right.
And so we miss our blessing.
Right.
And so Thomas missed the first blessing when Jesus blew on those disciples
and
said
not there.
He wasn't there.
That's right.
Even though I'm pretty sure he still received the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
There's something about that breath.
Yeah.
Amen.
How about?
That Jesus blew, that gave them encouragement and strength and fortitude to run on. Then you talked about personal peace.
Mm-hmm. And that's the part where that whole thing, he's continuing to reemphasize the fact that peace I leave with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he'll give us a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have a personal peace, then that means that it's exclusive for me. What he gives you might be a little different for your situation, but what I need for my circumstance is for God to give me a personal peace so that even when the going gets rough and situations seem as if they're out of control, I have something on the inside
Amen.
Of me that's going to sustain me,
yes.
and it's a personal peace.
Yes.
And I praise God for a personal peace in the midst of storms,
yes.
in the midst of difficulties.
Yes.
It does not exempt us from going through trials and tribulations, but it gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen. Amen.
And so
yes,
I get excited about that.
Yes. Holding on to that personal peace.
That's right.
Amen. And then your last point was providential purpose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a providential purpose.
That's right. It's not accidental or coincidental, but it's providential.
Mm-hmm.
And it prepares us for what God has in store.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to that latter part, because even after that 29th verse, there was some more in there where Jesus was clear that even though he had done mighty things, the disciples were able to do greater works.
Mm-hmm.
But they needed to have that proper positioning. They needed to have personal care in order to receive the purpose that God had extended for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. That was all good on yesterday.
So we praise
God. Such a wonderful, wonderful service on yesterday.
That's right.
We had a special guest.
That's right.
That sang.
What was that young man's name?
Demille Cole Hurd.
Hurd.
And you
know what I found out, Lady Kim, afterwards? I was trying to make sure that the congregation was aware of the role that Devereaux Williams plays. He trains all of these musicians and all of these singers, and this young man is getting ready to go probably to Alaska and maybe on a cruise or whatever, but they come through Memphis, and Devereaux prepares them for what they are going to be experiencing once they leave. And that's not the only fellow that he's done that for. He trains a lot of people. That's part
Amen.
Of what he does.
Amen.
And so we praise God, because we have some gifted musicians.
Very talented, yes.
And talented. And all of them are, in their own right, great musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And they contribute to different bands, and they play for different events. And they are part of, you know, a group that they perform here in the city on the regular basis. Cortez and also... what's the other fella's name that plays?
Alex,
right? And then
Mo.
They're all excellent and powerful musicians in their own right.
And Elder Paxton.
And Paxton, yeah. And I think Alex is the one who is like over the band and orchestrates and gets everything in place for them. But we praise God that they are at ATOP and they're doing a great job.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. And the best thing about it is they all love the Lord.
That's right.
They all love the Lord. No matter what secular things they do, they always
make their way back to the house of the Lord.
They always know where the Lord is.
That's right. That's right. All right. That's good. That's good. So if you didn't get a chance to, what's the young man's name again?
Demille Cole Hurd.
If you didn't get a chance, and some of you may be viewing tonight as we're talking about that, if you go back and look on our website, that the whole service will bless you. But he got up right before I got ready to preach, and he really has a powerful gift, and we spoke blessings over him as he prepared to go on to Alaska from Memphis. But I believe you'll be blessed by that particular service and that word. And the Lord added to the church, and we praise God. Many came down for prayer, had quite a few visitors, and we praise God for a mighty move of his presence.
Amen.
On yesterday.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory.
All right. Well, we're in the 21st chapter of Joshua. There are about 45 verses there. And what we'll see here, Lady Kim, is this is really the assignment of the Levitical cities. And part of what happens here in this particular situation is that, you know, they had already given out all of the distribution, and they had already laid out all of the allotments for the 12 tribes. And the Levitical tribe was the ones that were, they were the people of the law.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who were the Levites, and they were the priests. And they out of that tribe came all of the priests and all of those who were instructors in terms of helping the people to understand the law. And so what happened with this particular assignment, and we're going to see that coming out in this 21st chapter, is that the tribe of Levi didn't have territory assigned to it, but they scattered them throughout the land, and so that they could be able to teach the people the law and influence the tribes wherever they were to be faithful to God and not to lose sight of how they got to where they were.
Amen.
And so these Levites, they were placed in, they needed places to live and to pasture and pastures for their cattle. And thus we see God assign some 48 cities for them to live in, along with specific areas of land for their pastures.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was making sure that the Levites, the priests, they were close to the people, but they also were able to provide necessary resources for themselves. And then what it reminded me of, Lady Kim, as he made sure that they were in proper placement, and that's part of what we talked about yesterday, is that God placed them close to the various tribes so that if there were questions or anything that was related to how they were to fulfill the law that had been established, then the priests would be available to them to go ahead and give them clarity and understanding as it related to the teachings that they needed in order to move forward and be successful in what God had given them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a very interesting passage here in this 21st chapter of Joshua, because one of the things that we see, God, first of all, God was faithful and gave Israel the land. We see that as we've gotten to this point, and we're going to pick that up in the latter part of this 21st chapter. God kept his covenant that he made with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Abraham didn't get a chance to experience all of this, his the descendants were ones who were able to move forward, because God had already promised that that's what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then God gave Israel victory over their enemies, and then he gave them rest over the wars that they had been going through. Now they're at a point, Lady Kim, where the children of Israel, they are resting from all of the battles that they had mm-hmm. to go through, and they are getting ready to really prosper in the land that God had given them.
Mm-hmm.
But the third thing was that God kept his promises. And at the close of Joshua's life, he began to remind them of all of the things that he said he would do. And God came through and did exactly what he said he would do. And as I thought about that, you know, God's promises are sure. And many times he may not come when we think he should, but he's always right on time. And so we have to trust the promise even when we don't have the possession. And we have to believe that if God said he would do a thing,
He'll do it. It
shall come to pass.
Amen.
And sometimes it might be a lingering blessing,
mm-hmm.
that he speaks it to us, and our grandson or our grandchildren will inherit the blessing.
Amen.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yep. And a lot of times we're looking for that blessing in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But like
mm-hmm.
you said, it might not be meant for the right now.
That's right.
It might be meant for the next generation.
That's right.
But the main point is that we have to trust and believe that God will do what he said he's
Absolutely.
Going to do.
Absolutely. And so as a people of God, Lady Kim, we can claim these assurances by faith.
Mm-hmm.
For we already talked about that we walk by faith and not by sight. And we have to call those things that be not as though they already are. And we have to stand on the promises of God even when it looks like it's not going to come to pass.
Amen.
And I think many times when we get to the whole Easter experience, the resurrection experience, many times we have people on the premises, but they're not standing on the promises.
Oh, I like that.
Uh-oh, watch out there. And so we have to be mindful that that promise is what's going to get you through.
Yeah, Lord.
Those difficult days and those trying times and those hospital visits and those times when it looked like you're standing all by yourself, that's when you pick up that word and you stand on that promise. You just recite back to God what he's already told you.
Amen.
And I just believe that something powerful will happen. And God's power and wisdom can give you victory over your foes, and God's promises can be trusted no matter what circumstances you may be in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that, Lady
Amen.
Kim?
Amen. And as people of God, we can claim these assurances by faith.
That's right.
God's covenant with us is not going to fail. God's power and wisdom can give us victory over every foe.
Every foe.
And God's promises can be trusted no matter what the circumstances may be.
That's right.
So God's covenant is a covenant of power. And the promises of God, these are spiritual resources we can depend on as we claim our inheritance in Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's right. And so this is what's happening in this 21st chapter. They are really claiming their inheritance,
mm-hmm.
and they are walking in the promise that had already been established. And need I remind somebody tonight, wherever you are and whatever your situation or your circumstance might be, if you don't see it, continue to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that God is who he said he would, he is, and what he said he would do in your situation, you've got to trust him even when you can't trace
him. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. So I think what you'll find here, Lady Kim, if you want to take a leap of faith into this reading, but they're just describing the Levites. Let's maybe read the first, let's maybe do the first 7 or 8 verses. And then we probably can skip but we can read it. If you want to read it now, you're welcome to do it. But we gave a brief definition of what's happening here because this really has to do with the assignment of the Levitical cities,
mm-hmm.
and how the Levites, the priests, they are getting positioned in such a way where they'll be accessible to the people, and they were the ones who were helping the children of Israel after they have occupied the land and gotten into the promised land. They were the ones to make sure that the law that had been established would continue to be fulfilled and giving the people a sense of hope even when they were losing sight of what they were supposed to be doing.
Amen. The first 7 verses
of
the 21st chapter of Joshua. Then the leaders of the tribe of Levi came to consult with Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders of the other tribes of Israel. They came to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan and said, "The Lord commanded Moses to give us towns to live in and pasture lands for our livestock."
Mm-hmm.
So by the command of the Lord, the people of Israel gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own grants of land. The descendants of Aaron, who were members of the Kohathites clan within the tribe of Levi, were allotted 13 towns that were originally assigned to the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The other families of the Kohathites clan were allotted 10 towns from the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The clans of Gershon was also allotted 13 towns from the tribe of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. The clan of Merari was allotted 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun.
Okay, and really what we're seeing here as they go back through the tribes, they are making sure that proper placement, and that's that word coming back again, for the priests to be available and accessible to each of the tribes to help reinforce the law and help encourage them with situations. And as I was thinking about that, as you were reading, Lady Kim, many times we kind of get our cue from some of the things that have already been established, even in the Old Testament. You notice that churches throughout the land and country, they were strategically set up in communities, and it originally started out as neighborhood churches,
right,
where people would use that as a source of mm-hmm. spiritual guidance
mm-hmm.
until people started taking flight and going, you know, different places to go to church. But it was, first of all, originally the neighborhood church
mm-hmm.
that helped the community to get spiritual guidance and direction and reinforcement in terms of what God was saying to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And as we got more mobile and as
right.
we got more technically savvy, we find ourselves, some people travel from Arkansas, people come from Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
people come from different states, and they'll commute back and forth in order to be in a place where they are being fed and nurtured. But that was originally, I think, the plan for the neighborhood church mm-hmm. was to be there to support the communities as they were developing and as they were thriving. And you start seeing churches on corners and
Amen.
Churches in,
right.
in the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same, this similar to what is happening here as the children of Israel are being placed in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
The tribe of Levi, the Levites, they are strategically placed
mm-hmm.
so that they can be of spiritual influence to these tribes
mm-hmm.
and help them, help guide them through their spiritual pilgrimage.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right, so we're in the 21st chapter of Joshua. Lady Kim has already shared the first seven verses, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And then you'll see the same thing transpiring as they go down through the list of these placements
right.
and the list of the cities. And I think if we move to the end of that chapter, Lady Kim, around verse number, let's maybe pick it up at about verse 41. It's only 45 verses there, but let's pick it up at verse 41 and see
okay.
what's happening there.
All right. It says the total number of towns and pasture lands within the Israelite territory given to the Levites came to 48. Every one of these towns had pasture land surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had solemnly promised their ancestors.
Okay.
None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises of the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he had spoken came true.
Okay, everything he had spoken came true. That's a word of encouragement for us even tonight, because You shared those first three points that I lifted up earlier, Lady Kim, is that God was faithful and gave Israel the land. He kept the covenant that he made with them. And then it was, first of all, established with Abraham, and it flowed down through his descendants. And then secondly, God gave Israel victory over their enemies. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of battles that they became weary, and they had some spies that had came in and said some things that was not true. But God remained faithful, mm-hmm. and Joshua and the people believed and they obeyed God's word. And then the third thing, God kept his promise.
Amen.
And we know that he's a promise-keeping God. And if God says he would do a thing, it shall come to pass. And just as you've already indicated, as the people of God, we have to claim those assurances by faith. But we walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And so that's very powerful in terms of how God, he still moves and he works in mysterious ways, mm-hmm. and his wonders to perform. But we have to trust him even when we can't trace him. If you go back up to the, that's where it starts right there on under the assignment. No, you're going the wrong way. Yeah. You're on 18. All right. Well, we're going right on through. So if there are any questions or comments, that's where it starts right there. Questions or comments or any praise reports, y'all go ahead and start gathering those now. Because is there anything, is there a word that we want to leave in terms of this particular section, Lady Kim, that we've gone through tonight? And I don't think we need to just read all of that, because it's really just talking about how the cities were laid out and how the territory was given and how the priests and were given authority, and they were in proper place so that the children of Israel would be able to receive instruction and direction in terms of what they needed to do to fulfill God's desire for their lives.
Mm-hmm. And I think you already, you know, hit on it when you talked about the church being positioned mm-hmm. in the neighborhoods. Just as the Levites are positioned in the areas they are housed to teach the rules of faith and the law of the Lord, we are a royal priesthood.
That's right. That's right.
And we are positioned in neighborhoods and towns for God's purposes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but you said something a few minutes ago that kind of hit home with me. You talked about obeying God, mm-hmm. you know, and trusting God. And a lot of us trust God. We trust in God, but we don't want to obey God.
Okay.
You know, and the Israelites not only trusted God, they obeyed God. They did what God told them to do. And because they did what God told them to do, they were blessed as
mm-hmm.
a result.
Mm-hmm.
God gave them rest from war. God made had them distribute and gave them those allotments of land
mm-hmm.
and the pastures, and they set up those boundaries. And so because they did that, because they obeyed God, then they prospered where they were.
That's right. That's right. And obedience brings the reward. That's what I was thinking about as you were talking. And many times we don't act on what we know, and we're not obedient to what God requires of us. I believe that all too often, Lady Kim, we have more in us than we're actually using in terms of the knowledge, spiritual knowledge that we have received, and the guidance and the direction that we have received as it relates to hearing the word. You know, we are held accountable for what we know, not for what we don't know. And once that word goes out, and once that word pierces your heart, then God holds you accountable to put that into action. Faith without works is dead. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and mm-hmm. hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to activate what we have received. And as we walk forward and what we know, then God will continue to increase our faith and give us more understanding as we move forward. That's right.
Amen.
So it's in the going and in the knowing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to activate it, and we have to walk in it, And we have to be obedient to what God requires of us.
Yeah. I laugh because I thought about that. You know, that lady said, Holy Spirit, activate.
We're going to have that a part of one of the services what Sunday, and we didn't get a chance to do it. But how many verses are left in
there are quite a few for, I think. 22, yes. Mm-hmm.
They're 34 verses?
Looks like it.
Mm-hmm. Because in that 34th chapter, and we can touch on a little of it if you want to, it really kind of just deals with how...
The 22nd chapter?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because we're done with the 21st chapter.
Right.
Do you see any prayer requests or any praise reports, any comments
yet.
There?
Mm-hmm.
Because in that 22nd chapter, we see that God is really getting closer to the time when this is about to come to an end. There are only 24 chapters mm-hmm. in Joshua, mm-hmm. but... When the battle is over, mm-hmm. that's part of what can be used as a title for mm-hmm. this 22nd chapter, because God is just reminding Joshua, mm-hmm. he's given them an honorable discharge, if you will, in terms of what they have been able to accomplish and what they have done as a result of them going in and conquering the land and setting up. And they have received the allotments, they have received the territory in which to go ahead and prosper. And so God is really positioning them now and giving them an honorable discharge. And Joshua is the one who's really been leading this faithful journey. And he's been right on point in terms of what God required of him. And so now they are getting ready to command. The commands are going to be given here in the 22nd chapter. And then you see that the discharge, where Joshua is discharging the tribes. And then he's giving them that rest from all of the work that they have done in terms of occupying. And then he gives them an admonishment. All of this is happening in the first five verses of that 22nd chapter, and then he blesses them, similar to what we talked about on yesterday. Maybe pick it up and let's read the first eight verses of the 22nd chapter of Joshua, and then we can stop there and we can see how some of that is coming to pass in the life of the high priest, and how they are taking an active role and participating in what God has required of them to do.
All right. And this is when the battle is over.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the eastern tribes return home.
Mm-hmm.
You said the first eight verses?
Yes.
Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. He told them, you have done as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and mm-hmm. you have obeyed every order I have given you.
You have obeyed every order.
Yeah.
That's what we're just talking about, that
right.
obedience brings the reward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
During all this time, you have not deserted the other tribes.
Mm-hmm.
You have been careful to obey the commands of the Lord your God right up to the present day.
Right.
And now the Lord your God has given the other tribes rest as he's promised them.
Mm-hmm.
So go back home to the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you as your possession on the east side of the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
But be very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went home. Moses had given the land of Bashan, east of the Jordan River, to the half tribe of Manasseh. The other half of the tribe was given the land west of the Jordan. As Joshua sent them away and blessed them, he said to them, go back to your homes with the great wealth you have taken from your enemies,
mm-hmm.
the vast herds of livestock, the silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and the large supply of clothing. Share the plunder with your relatives.
Okay. And so you see a powerful illustration here taking place Joshua is blessing the people, of course, and as you indicated, he called them together and he encouraged them and how about how they had been faithful, and then he gives them a spiritual application of rest because they had worked hard in terms of the battles that they had fought. And he also discharged them so that they could go back to and take the plunders from what they had received from their fight and share it with the people that were left behind.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he commended them, he encouraged them, he blessed them, and he gave them rest.
Amen.
And discharged them as well.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's in the first 8 verses of, we're in Joshua, the 22nd chapter, and we finished up on the 21st chapter, and we want to just go ahead and just kind of introduce some of the things that's happening in this 22nd chapter, and we can really kind of pick some of that up on next week. But this blessing that Joshua is giving here, Lady Kim, is key because it involves sharing what they had and not for them to keep it to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all too often we get caught up in the fact that when God blesses us, we think it's just for us.
Mm-hmm.
But many times we have to realize that we're blessed to be a blessing.
Right.
And that we're saved to do some saving, and that we're loved to do some loving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ought not ever think that once God blesses us, once God gives us what we have been praying for, that we keep it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always amazed because the saying, the more, you can't beat God's giving,
right.
no matter how hard you try. The more you give, the more he'll give to you. So just keep on giving even tonight, because it's really true. You can't beat God's giving.
That's right.
And so when we're obedient and faithful, just as the children of Israel were, they had been victorious in battle. They had received their commission. They had received a blessing, and they were obedient, and obedience is what brings the reward.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we allow ourselves to be faithful, even in times where we don't completely understand what God is doing, know that if you don't see a visible sign of God doing something in the natural, he's doing something powerful in the spirit.
Amen.
Realm.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen.
So you want to read a couple more verses, or you want, we got a few more minutes, because there are only 34 verses. If we can read maybe to 15,
mm-hmm.
then we'll stop there and we'll pick it up next week.
Okay.
The 15th verse.
All right. I think I stopped at verse number 9.
Okay.
So the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh left the rest of Israel at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. They started the journey back to their own land of Gilead,
mm-hmm.
the territory that belonged to them according to the Lord's command through Moses. But while they were still in Canaan, and when they came to a place called Gilead near the Jordan River, the men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh stopped to build a large and imposing altar.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of Israel heard that the people of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar at Gilead at the edge of the land of Canaan on the west side of the Jordan River. So the whole community of Israel gathered at Shiloh and prepared to go to war against them. Where do you want me to stop?
At 15.
First, however, they sent a delegation led by Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, to talk with the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. In this delegation were 10 leaders of Israel, one from each of the 10 tribes, and each the head of his family within the clans of Israel. When they arrived in the land of Gilead, they said to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh,
that's 15, and
mm-hmm.
that's a strange place to start.
That's not a good place to
start.
Well,
go on through 20. Read down to 20.
The whole community of the Lord demands to know why you are betraying the God of Israel. How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar for yourselves in rebellion against him? Was our sin at Peor not enough? To this day, we are not fully cleansed of it, even after the plague that struck the entire community of the Lord. And yet today, you are turning away from from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with all of us tomorrow. If you need the altar because the land you possess is defiled, then join us in the Lord's land where the tabernacle of the Lord is situated and share our land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar other than the one true altar of the Lord our God.
Mm-hmm. So you see what's going on here. They are going back as they were commissioned. And now they had stopped to build an altar, mm-hmm. and the other tribes were confused because they thought that they were actually going against them, mm-hmm. because they didn't understand why they would build an altar and they had already established one. And so they're going back and forth trying to get clarity in terms of understanding what was happening here. And I think as we continue to unpack this 22nd chapter, we'll see how all of this begins to unfold. But they are being faithful to the command that Joshua had given them and to go back and take what they had already received as a result of their obedience and share it with their own tribes in where they had come from in their homeland. Mm-hmm. And so they are stopping to build an altar out of respect and appreciation for what God had done, mm-hmm. but the other tribes did not completely understand what they were doing.
Right.
And so I think as we get ready to wrap it up here tonight, we can start with the 20th verse on next week of the 22nd chapter, and then starting it, because you read down to verse number 20, right?
That's correct.
And we'll pick it up at verse number 20 on next week of the 22nd chapter, and then read to verse 34. And those of you who are reading along and following along with us, that'll be a good point of reference for you as we prepare to talk about what the Lord is doing with the children of Israel as they are really at the close of the battles, and the battle is over. It's a good heading for that particular chapter. And they are sharing some of their concerns, and they are trying to make sense of what is happening here with this altar. And God is really speaking to them, and he's going to give some clarity and definition as we move through the remaining portions of this particular passage of Scripture.
Okay. Awesome.
Did you get any prayer requests?
Yes, there were several prayer requests, and then I added a few that, you know, that we know of.
Okay.
Brother Darrell Taylor asked... Sister Deborah's asking prayer for the healing of her spine that has adjusted and has twisted itself to a twisted position. So we want to lift up Sister Deborah Taylor. We want to continue to lift up Brother Darrell Taylor as he's in recovery, mm-hmm. recuperating. Lift up Sister Lena Jackson. She texted me this evening to let us know that she had been discharged from St. Francis Hospital, folks. But so we give God praise.
That's great.
That she's been discharged from the hospital, but again, she's still in recovery.
Right.
Amen. Director Hughes, who is at Germantown Methodist Hospital, we want to lift up our beloved father of ATOP.
That's right.
William Hughes. And then I did not get to ask Sister Antoinette on yesterday, but she asked prayer last Wednesday for her brother in ICU at Methodist Central, Reverend Ozzie Robinson.
Okay.
So we want to continue to lift him up. And then somebody on the line, let's see who that was. Oh, Sister Jessica asked for strength and healing for the Lee and Williams family and for Sister Ada Jones. And then I want to add also my direct supervisor that I report to at work. This morning, her son died suddenly. So we want to keep the Stuckett family lifted up in prayers. It was devastating news for her, and we want to lift them up in prayer also.
Okay. Will you prepare to close us out then, Lady Kim, with a word of prayer as
sure.
we prepare to come to the close of this time together tonight? Mm-hmm.
Before we close in prayer, all of our leaders, don't forget our leadership orientation on this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock. And then Sunday is Mother's Day.
That's right.
So invite all your moms, your surrogate mothers, aunties, and you all come out and let's worship the Lord together on this coming Sunday.
And
amen.
That leadership meeting is going to be in person. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, it will mm-hmm. be in person. Our mm-hmm. first in-person meeting since the pandemic. So
yes.
It's been almost two and a half years since we've met in person. So we're looking for all of our leaders, our ministry leaders, our ministers, spiritual officers, and advisory board, and anybody who's connected in that way.
That's right.
Amen. Let us pray tonight. God, we thank you. We bless you and we honor you, for you, Lord, are worthy to be praised. We lift up to you, Sister Deborah Taylor, God. We ask that you would touch her back right now, God, and untwist that spine, twist
yes,
it back into
yes,
place
yes,
like
God.
It should, oh God.
Do
and we
it,
thank
God.
You today, God. We thank you for healing Sister Lena Jackson today and for that release from the hospital.
Thank
now
you,
we
God.
Ask, God, that that recovery period, oh God, be quick, fast, and in a hurry. We lift up Reverend Ozzie Robinson to you tonight, God. Wherever he is, we ask that you would touch his body tonight,
do it,
God, and heal him as only you can. We lift up the Lee and Williams family and Sister Ada Jones to you, God. You know what they stand in need of, God. So we speak it into the atmosphere by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would go forth and that you make the crooked places straight and bring the high mountains low. Give them comfort and peace. Give them wisdom and understanding, God, as they go through whatever trial they're going through. We lift up Sister Thomasina Stuckett in the loss of her son to you tonight, God. We ask that you would strengthen her family, God. We ask that you would give her comfort, oh God, and peace as she makes final preparations for her son. We thank you, oh God, for his life, oh God, a life well lived. Sometimes we don't understand, God, your will, but we know, God, that his life rests in your hands.
Thank
and so
you,
we
God.
Thank you that he knew you. We thank you that he loved you. And most of all, we thank you that you knew him, oh God, and loved him more. So we bless you and we honor you. Strengthen all that we've spoken to. Bless Mother Hughes today, God. Continue to strengthen her. Bless Elizabeth, their granddaughter, who cares for her grandmother and grandfather. And anyone else, oh God, who desires prayer, oh God, but was not able to voice it tonight. We speak a covenant blessing upon your life tonight, knowing that God knows all and he sees all. Not only does he know all and he sees all, but he can work on every situation. So we love you, we thank you, we bless you, we give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God. All right. Well, we believe that it shall come to pass and that it is so in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And we pray that you have a blessed rest of the evening and be encouraged until we meet again.
Amen.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. God blessings upon you.